All right, Ezekiel chapter 33. We'll read a few verses of this chapter, beginning in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hands. Now this is the interpretation and the practical application that everyone today, if you're here today and God has saved you, and now if he has added you to one of his churches, there is a double duty to take heed to this warning. So thou. Now that's me and that's you. Every child of God and every member of the Lord's church is given this very solemn, serious, sincere responsibility, and God tells you right here what's going to happen to you, whether you sound the trumpet or don't sound the trumpet. If you give the warning or if you don't give the warning, it's going to be a result, and there's going to be a God to face. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now, he has not set us to the house of Israel, but he set us wherever he's put us. Yeah. Wherever you are, wherever I am, we are not at the place of our abode by accident, but on purpose and for a purpose. And it will behoove us to fulfill this purpose. Verse 7 goes on, Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Do you have the word from God's mouth? Come on, man, do you?
Amen.
Right there it is. Anybody don't have it? God says, Thou shalt hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, now here's a message. O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. Now that's a rough message, isn't it?
Amen.
But is it true? Is it love to know that and keep it to yourself? Are you showing any individual, family member, friend, co-worker, neighbor, stranger, are you showing them love when you know that they're walking a road that's crowded but headed to hell? It's broad and it's easy, but the end is destruction. Are you showing love if you just go ahead, depart, be ye warm and filled till you burn up? If thou dost not warn the wicked, from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. We're responsible. Well, I don't like being responsible. Tough break, you are. God's word doesn't say if you want to be, you can be. God said you are.
Amen.
I've given you the instructions. I've told you what's going to happen. I've explained it to you in my word. You know what I did for you. And you better go tell others what I did for you and warn them of the wrath that is to come.
Amen.
And if you don't, I'm going to take their, require their blood, their death, their hell. I'm going to ask you, why didn't you warn them?
Amen.
I'm going to require that at your hands. Verse 9, though, gets a little more encouraging, doesn't it? Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way. Now, turning them is not our responsibility. Do you see that?
Amen.
Right. Our responsibility ends with the warning. What they do with it is between them and God. But until we have warned, it's our responsibility. But when we warn faithfully, lovingly, with care, and true concern and compassion, I have a great fear for God's people today, and especially Baptists.
Yeah.
And when I say Baptists, I don't mean everything under the banner.
Right.
I mean the Lord's churches.
Amen.
I have a fear for us that our compassion for lost souls has been seared as a hot iron.
Yes. Yes.
Till we just look at someone and say, well, they need to turn. They need to change. And just forget it. I'll just ask you, I mean, realize that when a preacher preaches something, he's done been preaching it to himself for quite a while.
Yeah, that's right.
You do understand that. If you don't,
right.
You know, I can't expect you to understand like coming back from somewhere you've never been. If you're not a preacher, you can't. It's hard to do. But how long has it been since you just broke down and wept over a lost soul? Huh? Does the word of God say, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again and bringing his sheaves with him? Does it say that?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Are there loved ones in your family that are dead in sin and lost without Jesus Christ, and if they continue in their way, will in hell lift up their eyes?
Yeah.
And that don't bring a tear to our eyes? What in this world has happened to us? And I'm not saying you. I'm saying us. God's going to call us at account one of these days, friends. We are going to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ to give an answer for works done in the flesh, whether they be good or bad.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with sin.
Right.
But work's going to be there, and God's going to say, that was a good work, or that was a bad work, or he's going to hell, but you got a part in it. She's going to die and go to hell. It's her sins, but you didn't warn them. Verse 9 again, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. He's going to do it either way. If he doesn't turn, that's a fact. But thou hast delivered thy soul from the responsibility. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak. God says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. Not judgmentally, lovingly, with a earnest, prayerful desire that God Almighty would use the law as a schoolmaster and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. O Son of Man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how then shall we live? Now here's a message. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, thy righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Now I recognize the fact that this particular passage, by context and location and everything about it, is a message that God gave to the prophet Ezekiel concerning the nation of Israel. I recognize that. But surely, surely the message is contained throughout the New Testament in the commission to the church and through the instructions and the revealed power that God has placed in His gospel, and the responsibility that He lays upon us as His children to go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone that we come in contact with. The picture that God paints in these first six verses is a very clear one. Around the wall of Jerusalem, about 3 miles in diameter today, the old city of Jerusalem, there are 34 watchtowers in it. And that certainly demonstrates for us the earnest need of watching and warning. Now, we live in an era wherein setting guards to on a tower in a wall to look out across the plains and valleys and watch for the enemy armies approaching is not so prevalent, and it's scarcely understood by us. But Ezekiel and the people of his day surely understood that. When war was by swords and by spears and by arrows and by catapults and battering rams and those type, hand-to-hand type combat, and you had the duty, if you were a watchman, you were to stay in that tower and you used to stand your watch, you used to have the trumpet at hand, you used to be ready at all times, and any time you saw a problem arising, you saw an enemy approaching, you lift that trumpet up and you sound it loud, you sound it clear, and you sound it distinctly so that there be no confusion. God says, Ezekiel, just like it is the responsibilities of the soldier watchman in the military to stand his guard duty and warn the people of the impending danger and death that's coming, in the same regard, spiritually, God has set us as His watchmen in this world wherein we live. That is certainly the message that is declared here for each and every one of the children of God. This, to us, lays upon us the urgent need and the need to be conscious and aware and alert. People are dying every second of every day. Since you come to the house of God here today, you would be shocked at how many thousand souls have slipped into eternity while we sit here on the cushion pews in this world. That's true. How many around us have we read about the obituaries, followed to the graveside, or visited in the funeral homes? Friends, people are dead and dying in their sins every day. And there is only one cure in this world. There is only one hope in this universe. And God has ordained, that is, it has pleased Him to appoint it this way. Long ago, my hair got too white to debate with anyone about what God could do. Because I don't know what God could do. Better still, I don't know what He could. I don't know what He couldn't do, let alone what He could do. But I do know some that He has done. And it has pleased Him that through the foolishness of preaching, or the communication of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way that He is ordained to save those that believe. You would not be saved today except someone had told you about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Warned you of your sin. If someone had not been a trumpet, if they had not been a watchman looking for you, you would be lost today, headed for hell, without God, without hope in the world. You have not forgotten God's only begotten, but have you forgot the one that witnessed to you?
Uh-huh.
Have you forgot the one that God used to tell you about Jesus Christ when He saved you? So I haven't. That's been quite a few years back now, but I can still see that man in my mind. I can still see where I was seated. I can show you the place. I can show you right where I was at when God saved my soul. Now, that's not true of everyone, but I'm telling you right now, most of the time there is a place in the hearts of God's people for the one that He used to present the gospel to them. Whether he's a preacher or whether it's a woman or whoever else it is, they are remembered. And I'll be honest with you, God surely knows. God surely knows. But the incumbent thing upon us here is that we recognize that the responsibility God gives us is to be faithful to warn anyone every time. How many people should the watchman talk to or sound the trumpet for in the city? What if there's just two or three people in the city? Well, that's not enough to sound a trumpet. Well, if you're one of those two or three, you'd think it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? You see, we lose sight of the individuality. But God has saved 3,000 souls in one day. But let me tell you something. He saved every one of them individually.
That's right.
Every person God's ever saved, He saved them one-to-one.
Yes, sir.
You got that?
Yeah.
He's saved multitudes of people at one time. I don't doubt that one little bit, but I'm telling you right now, He saved everyone as individually as He hears the prayers, as He blesses their souls through His Word.
Yes.
So I warn you, God has instructed us with everything we should ever need to know about the urgency of performing this. The Apostle Paul, in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, called the elders from the church that he organized in Ephesus, and he brought them together, and in the 26th verse, he says this to them. Now think about Ezekiel's warning with compared to what God inspired Paul to say in Acts 20:26, "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Now, for me and Brother Sled, and I know your pastor, though I've not heard him preach here much, I know him. All right? And others. And I know Brother Gordon through the years and others that have preached here. Listen here. We're going to call you to record. Now and at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have sounded the trumpet of sin brings death and hell. And the only recovery and remedy and hope is in the Jesus Christ. And if you do not come to a true repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. And in hell, you will lift up your eyes and you will be there forever.
That's right.
Now, you don't like that. I can't help it. It's the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
And I call you to record right now. And we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and this moment will come up.
Yes, sir.
And I'll say, Lord, I warned every one of them that their sin was going to come and separate them from God. And I don't care how good they've been. I won't go into all this for time's sake, but listen. God said, say to the righteous in his righteousness, that's not good enough. It won't save you in the day of your sin and iniquity. Say to the wicked and unrighteous that will not separate them from God if they'll come to Him in faith believing. Tell them God says, I don't have any pleasure in the wicked dying. Did you read that? Verse 11, say, unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I fear sometimes sovereign grace people get the idea that God is some kind of a sadistic ogre that finds pleasure, joy, delight in sufferings. That's not true.
That's right.
God is love.
That's right.
Now, God is holy.
That's right.
God is just. All these things are true. But I'm telling you something, God don't throw a party when he says, depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you.
Yes.
He doesn't find any pleasure in that. His holiness, his justice, his very being, the holy being that he is, cannot but do that. But it's not something that he says, glory, I'm so happy I got to banish them to hell. That's not our God. God says, I'm happy when they turn. Isn't that what he says?
Yes.
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but, did you read that? As the Lord, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but, here's what I have pleasure in. That the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Or why would you die? And instead of a house of Israel, put your name right there. Why will you die, Gene Kiger? It's not God's pleasure. He doesn't find pleasure if you die and go to hell. God's pleasure is to turn, repent, live. I'll ask you, why will you die in your sins? Why? Just from a reasonable, logical standpoint. Look, just think with me a minute. Now, this is an exceedingly hypothetical scenario. That means it's not true. Okay? This means it's not true. But if there were no God, and I have spent the 50 years of my life preaching His Word, what have I lost? Tell me. I told you a little bit about my background, you know, about the home that I grew up in. I grew up as a tobacco sharecropper. If you know what sharecropping is, you get to live in an old, empty, run-down barn. But not even all the pains in the windows. Just true. It's true. Reached almost down through the floor to wring a chicken's neck from inside the house. It's about true now. I'm not kidding much. Wake up, snow on your covers. Anytime it snows, you can look out through the roof, see the stars. Hey, I'm not joking. Right there sits a wife that's seen the house I grew up in. It's condemned. Wouldn't even let migrant workers live in it in recent days. That's true. But years ago, we lived there. Okay? And God has blessed me. I've been to Hawaii. Been to Alaska. Mission trip in Trinidad. Almost any island in the Caribbean we've toured to, cruising. Preached on the West Coast, North Coast, East Coast, South Coast, and in between coasts. And traveled and done so much and stuff that I never knew existed. I've been blessed with a wonderful life. If I die and, get, and there is no eternity after this, I've won. You understand that? Someone says, well, you give up some. I can give up anything. I've gained. If I would die and there was no God, I'd steal the winner. Now, let me ask you. What if you die and there is a God?
Yeah.
And you've never turned from your sinful ways. You say, well, I've enjoyed my life. I've lived in wickedness. And I've just done everything I wanted to do. Well, what if there is a God? And you know what? There is.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I win here and I win there. You lose here, you lose there. I got a witness over here too, right? Two of them at least on this front row. Me and the younger brother, we grew up, you know, same mama, same daddy. Dipped pin toes out of the same pot, slept in the same bed, and swapped underwear. You know, understand, we had a lot in common. We had a lot in common. Now listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. I go out and I'm out preaching the word of God and he's serving time in prison. God's honest truth. He's dead today. And I don't want to think about work. I just almost refuse to think about work. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't mind facing God because I warned him. I sounded the trumpet. And what he did was between him and God. He lived and you just about name it, he did it in sin in this world. I'm not joking. Now let me tell you his rewards of it. His children were taken away from him by social services. They've grown up and know to have nothing to do with him or didn't when he was alive. He and his wife just split and separated and got back together and split and separated and got back together. They was fighting in court and fighting this and fighting that. And he died without even a car of his own. Now, boy, he really won, didn't he? Huh? There is no way to win in this world without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You lose.
Yes, sir.
But you lose a lot more in the world to come.
That's right.
Precious friend, I care where you spend eternity. It matters to me whether you go to heaven or hell. Does it to you? I stand today as a watchman, sit right here over before you to warn you of the judgment to come, death. It, God has said it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that you're going to be judged. Why perish? Why will you die? Why will you go to hell? When God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, why will you perish? You better turn to Jesus Christ. He said, I say, as his ambassador, come unto him.
Amen.
You would find rest, peace, joy, and everything you'll ever need.
Sir.
In Jesus Christ. That's